Market View on Money FM 89.3.
And it seems the landscape for markets has changed now significantly, with more developments with regards to potential COVID-19 vaccines raising hopes that perhaps there is light at the end of this COVID-19 pandemic tunnel. However, how should investors navigate the changing landscape, and what should folks be keeping their eyes out for? Today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined once again by Mr. Jeffrey Haley, the Senior Market Analyst for the Asia Pacific at Owanda. He joins us all the way from Jakarta to share with us his thoughts on how the landscape might be changing and how investors might have to position themselves. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health out in Jakarta, and welcome back to the show, sir. It's been a while.
Always a pleasure, JP. Thanks for having me, mate.
All right. So we've seen market sentiment for the better part of the last 2.5 weeks supported by these vaccine developments. First from Pfizer BioNTech, we had Moderna coming out with their report card, and now we also had AstraZeneca and Oxford. A bit of a scare. They did say it was 70% effective. Apparently, one of those regimens proved 90% effective. Are you surprised, Jeff, but how strong the pickup has been for markets, which have seen only minor bouts of profit-taking ever since? What are your thoughts on just how strongly markets have responded and whether or not this is going to build and continue as we head into the new year?
Yeah, I think what we saw last night was evidence of this rotation trade out of what I call technology working from home and into sort of the more legacy industries. We saw the Dow Jones outperform the NASDAQ overnight quite strongly. And we've seen today in Asia, stock markets across Asia, more legacy heavy ones such as Japan and Singapore and Australia outperforming the more tech heavy ones like South Korea and Taiwan. I definitely think this has legs now. I believe asset prices were always going to be supported anyway, simply by the fact that the world's central banks are running ultra easy monetary policy with unlimited amounts of 0% cash flushing around in the system. So, but I think now what we're seeing is with three viable vaccine candidates now coming to the market, that there's been a reassessment of the outlook for 2021. AstraZeneca is a game changer because it can be stored at room temperature and it's also much, much cheaper than the other two.
Absolutely. Now, you did mention cyclical starting to come back into the fore, some of these legacy stocks you mentioned. As we've noticed, the cyclical sector, they're not exactly uniform or similar across the board. Based on what you're seeing, and if the cyclical pickup begins to start taking even more steam, Jeff, which cyclicals might stand to benefit right now and could provide opportunities for investors, and which ones might need to marinate just a little bit more and let more of this uncertainty pass or simmer down a bit?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious answer to that one is airlines, which I suspect need to marinate a bit longer before we start seeing a pickup. We're not magically going to see the world reopen in Q1. World airline finances are still continuing to be bombed out. But I think commercial property and hotels, consumer discretionary, perhaps, your shopping malls, the REITs in that sector, for example, could be set for an outperformance. And that's mainly because people can come out of the house and actually start going about their normal lives without wearing masks, et cetera, again. Resource sector stocks as well. Banks also, particularly banks, I think, which partially explains the outperformance of the STI in recent weeks because it's so bank heavy, would also be well placed to benefit from a pickup in global activity in the region next year. And it should also mean that they have to make much lower provisions for bad loans.
Absolutely. We're still speaking to Jeff Haley, the Senior Market Analyst for the Asia Pacific at Owanda here on Money FM 89.3. When we think about cyclical sectors, some actually point out that one of the more cyclical or legacy heavy indices in the Asia Pacific region is that of Singapore's, Jeff. And we have seen over the last few weeks that more often than not, Singapore is either among the best performers or the clear outperformer among the major equity indices in the Asia Pacific region. Can you share with us your sentiments as on how well Singaporean stocks have performed and why you think they've been looking relatively more confident than some of their other peers, either across the ASEAN region or even across the broader Asia Pacific space?
When we look at Singapore, Singapore's stock market has definitely been in the naughty corner for most of 2020. It's severely underperformed other areas of Asia. Definitely what we've seen in 2020 through the pandemic is North Asia, China, Taiwan, South Korea, these much more tech-facing, working from home stock markets, if you like, outperforming your Bangkoks, your Singapores, Malaysias, etc., which are very heavy in legacy industries. If you look at the STI, the biggest weightings there are property companies and banks, and that's very much explains a lot of the underperformance. Singapore simply just doesn't have a lot of technology companies. It does have a couple, but it's not very heavy in them. Now that we are looking now towards the future and the possible return of a semblance of normal life, those sectors that have been completely off investors' radars, and with good reason, should come back into play. And that explains why the STI has been outperforming and why I expect it to continue outperforming now into the new year.
Fair enough. Now, just taking a look at the landscape today, there is one sector that seems to be a bit hobbled and actually looking at slight losses. It's a bit of a mixed and sluggish day out in mainland China today. Chinese markets are down. Why do you think that they seem to have missed the boat in this Tuesday session, Jeff? Do you think this could be down to also the threat of the outgoing Trump administration of potentially throwing more sanctions and tightening issues at Chinese companies and sectors overall? Or do you think there's something else that could just be holding back mainland Chinese markets from joining in on the regional rally today?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, JP. I think it's definitely what is the Trump administration going to do, and you know what sort of presence are they going to leave the Biden administration with regards to China relations before there's a transition in January the 20th. The latest is that they're going to blacklist 89 Chinese companies, notably in the aerospace sector, with ties to the Chinese military. And that, I think, is weighing on the Shanghai Composite and also the CSI 300, where there's this constant pushback against Chinese technology companies like TikTok. For instance, the US government may have been defeated in the latest round of attempts to block them, but they haven't gone away. They're going to try again. So I think this is going to be a pattern of pushing against China right up until the very end for Donald Trump. And I think that is why we're not seeing Chinese markets following today. I mean, we can see Taiwan has also underperformed today as well. And I think the visit of the US Admiral to Taiwan yesterday is weighing heavily on stock markets there as well.
So could there also be a political tinge then across the Strait of Taiwan that could be weighing on these greater Chinese markets then? Is that what you're leaning towards?
Yeah, and I can't put it out of my mind that there's a possibility that there might be a Taiwan surprise from the Trump administration. I know that's a huge call, but if he wants to leave a legacy before he goes, that could be one way he would do it as well. And as we know, he's not in the least bit bothered about upsetting China. In fact, anything, it's completely the opposite. So I think these sentiments, this geopolitical pushback from the US towards China, and you know, the cross-border, the cross-strait tensions, this is what's weighing on markets here. I don't think it's going to last, though. I think eventually China will shrug those doubts off and move forward again.
And very quickly, Jeff, before we let you go, the Biden administration, or President-elect Joe Biden, when he comes to the White House, he has begun rolling out some of his picks for his cabinet. One of them notable is also former Federal Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen, who's said to be his nominee, at least, for the next Treasury Secretary. This would put her, alongside her successor Jerome Powell in the Fed. What do you think this actually spells for markets, and whether or not this pick might be a good or a bad thing, or even just a nothing burger for markets moving forward?
I think actually this appointment or potential appointment has been very well received in Asia. Asia is the engine room of the world. It's the factory of the world. And the Biden administration will more than likely be more engaged in international trade than the Trump one, which was, as we know, quite isolationist. That will be good news for Asia. We may see the US come back to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, for example. But also, Ms. Yellen, having spent all that time at the Federal Reserve, she's going to have fiscal stimulus at the forefront of her mind when she starts that job. One thing that the Fed has complained about over the last 10 years at least is that they've had to do all the heavy lifting to hold the economy up and the global economy up, and they've received very, very little help from the fiscal stimulus side. So definitely I feel that she will be keen to enact some sort of major fiscal stimulus, which is positive for markets, positive for commodities, positive for growth, not just in the US, but also the world. Her challenge, of course, will be getting something through the Republican-controlled Senate, which I think will dog the Biden presidency for the next 4 years.
And Jeff, just very quickly, with risk on sentiment coming back on to the markets, we've seen the steady decline of gold. In fact, it's been on a bit of a downtrend since these vaccine developments started to come up. Are we starting to see the precious metal lose its luster? And what is your outlook for gold moving forward, given all these developments?
Yeah, I've been a bit nervous on gold for the past couple of weeks, frankly. And one of the major reasons why is it broke a trend line support that goes all the way back to the sell-off of mid-March, where we had that global capitulation in markets. It's then tried to retest it a number of times around $1,880 an ounce, but failed. And I think all the good news that came out last night reduced that haven appeal. It was combined with a market that I suspect is actually still quite long. People have been buying gold for the last 6 months, and I think they bought the dip on the 9th of November yet again as well, where it fell over $100. So I think there's a lot of stale long positioning out there. The reasons for holding gold, I think, are still intact. I think that the US dollar will debase quite strongly in 2021, but gold being what it is, it never usually moves in a linear fashion like stock markets. It could well trade down to $1,700 an ounce before it rallies back to 2000. So I think gold is best left alone at the moment. It does look very soft, and I think that weakness will continue.
Interesting insights there. We'd have to leave it at that. I'd like to thank Mr. Jeffrey Haley, Senior Market Analyst for the Asia Pacific at Awanda, for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. Jeff, always a pleasure. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times. We look forward very much so to the next time you can join us on the show. Have a great Tuesday ahead, sir.
And thank you very much, JP, for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.